98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Weekly Blast.
The first week of the OTAs are over, and there are winners and losers in Arizona. The loser is clearly Patrick Peterson, suspended for the first six games in 2019. The winner, wait for it, yep, it's Kyler Murray. And I say this not because I've seen him play, because that's not what this is about. This is about his attitude, his ability to assimilate with men on a football field. The ability to hear good nature ribbing and not lose his cool, like DJ Humphreys calling him little fella. The ability to be a cool dude who can command a huddle without acting like he's accomplished anything in the NFL, because he hasn't, and that's quite a balancing act. But it looks like Murray has succeeded, and not just because he brought donuts and breakfast sandwiches to the group, but because his personality seems to blend. It travels well. He knows how to be one of the guys while also being the best player on the football field, at least up until this point. This is a big victory because my first introduction to Murray wasn't great. I thought he might be aloof, unfriendly, maybe a little full of himself. That changed on draft night when Vinny and I got a small slice of time with Murray, and it appears that he's already replaced Josh Rosen in one respect. In the workplace, in the, hey, that kid is okay reaction that is taking place all around him. All right, today's Bickley Blast brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW. Go take a test drive. Got a location on Camelback Road in Phoenix, another in Chandler. Chapman BMW, two great locations, one great experience. Visit them online at chapmanbmw.com today.
And off we go.
And off we go. off we go. OTAs, week one in the books. I've seen highlights of Kyler Murray throwing. I like that black visor on his throwing helmet. Makes him look very mysterious this summer.
Darth Murray?
Right, Darth Murray. Better than the visor that Mike McCoy wore, right, Zach? In this case, what I like most is the reaction to Kyler Murray coming from guys that we spoke with and people that have spoke with other media members whom have produced content to this regard. And you know what I'm hearing? I'm hearing this kid's all right. I'm not hearing guys forcing praise. I'm not hearing guys over the top gushing. But what you're getting is, pretty good. We'll see. It's only been a couple weeks, but pretty good. Keep in mind now, it's one thing to get out there with a bunch of rookies. Because when you show up at your first NFL team and you're surrounded by nothing but rookies, it's like that freshman orientation. You all know nothing. You're around veterans, the game changes. The whole thing changes.
Well, you heard Justin Pugh with us yesterday. Mm-hmm. He wasn't exactly like kissing up to Kyler Murray.
Well, that's what I like. And that's what I like.
But I think that also, I think that is part personal with Kyler Murray. But Justin Pugh also talked about how last year was so humbling for everybody. So I could sit here. I got one right here for you. People talking last May, 2018, about the quarterback the Cardinals just drafted in the first round. Here's this former head coach, Jim Mora, talking about Josh Rosen a year ago.
Oh, I thought it was perfect. I think it's a great situation for both the Arizona Cardinals and Josh Rosen. He comes in with a new coach and a new staff. He gets to work with Mike McCoy as his coordinator. He gets to be in a room with Sam Bradford, who's just a heck of a person, tremendous quarterback. And it's close enough to home that I think there'll be a little bit of benefit there.
Yeah.
He gets to play on grass in an indoor-outdoor stadium. I think it's all positives.
All of them were positive last year. Love Josh Rosen. Cardinals won the draft. He fits in perfectly with our organization. Mm-hmm. Here's one labeled Christian Kirk talking about his chemistry with Josh Rosen. I don't disagree with anything you said on the early descriptions of Kyler Murray and how he's blending in, but it's got to be tempered. It's got to be tempered like shower glass.
Wow, is that it's funny. It's funny you should say that, because I don't know what you think about this new wave in hotels of all the shower glass just transparent and not tempered.
I have a transparent shower.
Deal. Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Not a fan either. It's impossible to keep clean. Especially when you're as dirty as me. Did you mark that down for the montage, Jarrett?
Okay.
You're not listening.
Listen. Yeah. I know. It's about that time. Shortly after halftime
she's
is when
hungry snack attack.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Shortly after
auto
halftime.
Playing videos.
Yeah. Any minute now, you're going to go up and reheat your lunch, aren't you, Jarrett?
No, I already ate before the show.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so in this.
Thank you again.
Yeah, you're welcome. So in this case, I think that it just sounds good to me. It doesn't sound over the top. It doesn't sound forced. It doesn't sound like guys are lying because they have to. Because let's keep in mind now, the organization made a controversial move in drafting a quarterback a second year in a row. There could be some guys in that locker room that really like Josh Rosen who thought he got a raw deal. There could be a lot of guys in that locker room who know, hey, you know what? Whatever you do, do not make sure you hype up Kyler Murray because he's their guy. I just got the idea that guys are speaking openly about him because guys feel good about him, and that's really, really cool to me.
And I agree with that. But I will say, in the grand scheme of things, look, you know, if we get to September and the Cardinals completely exceed the low expectations that are put on them, and it's quite evident that Kyler Murray is the real deal at the NFL level, I could care less that he brought in donuts on his first day of OTAs. So, I could care less that he made a great first impression. As long as he's not the diva of all divas.
Yeah.
The only thing that really matters in all of this, and I realize we have to parse everything that happens in real time because that's the way the NFL makes us operate now. But the only thing that matters is that he wins football games for this team.
Right, but he can't do that now.
No.
Right. So all we can do is to judge him on who he is now.
We have to take it item by item.
And again, I think maybe this is hitting me more profoundly because I was the guy that was right there in front of him in Indianapolis at the Combine during a press conference that I didn't dig all that much. And at that point in time, I started this, and I still loved him as a player, and I still thought it was the right move. I just thought, okay, this kid's got, he's got some walls up. He's just a little bit not really engaging, and all of that was just him being completely out of his element, constricted by his handlers about what he could say, what he couldn't say, all of that. And so when we met him and we saw him on draft night, and again, there was just a tiny little sample size, and it's really easy to get the best of a guy on the night he's been named the number one pick in the NFL draft.
And it's really hard, conversely, to get the best out of a guy when he is the one player out of the several hundred that were there in Indianapolis that everybody's talking about.
Exactly.
And there's all this pressure about it.
That's exactly right. But that is the unfair nature of the world we live in.
But again,
where these little tiny vignettes and moments add up to things that are bigger than what they should be.
But again, move past the draft and look forward, okay? Let's say Kyler Murray is buttoned up personality-wise. Let's say he doesn't give you a lot to work with from a quote standpoint. We look at it differently than most. I think the fans enjoy that, but people who do what we do for a living, we really gravitate towards those guys that are comfortable with a microphone in front of their face.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this question. Do you think anybody in Toronto, Ontario right now cares that Kawhi Leonard is boring as all get out? No. He's a tremendous basketball player that has lifted that franchise into a situation that they've never been before. And they might be playing for a championship in a week because of it. They don't care. That's the way I look at it. Yes, I will examine it in real time, but I'll also look towards the future because there is a reason why they drafted him number one. There's a reason why they completely shifted their focus and direction as a franchise after 1 year of another quarterback and another coaching staff. They have a goal in mind.
Yeah.
That to me is the biggest thing in the future.
Is accomplishing that goal. Kyler Murray has scored an endorsement with Perfect Hydration, did he?
Really?
I just reading the press release right now. It just as they say, dropped. Yeah, Kyler Murray has more in the pipeline than his overall number one pick in this year's pro football draft. He has partnered with Perfect Hydration Alkaline Water. There you go.
Isn't that the stuff they put in batteries?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Asking for a friend.
Asking for a friend.
Deion Sanders, a guy who played two sports professionally, was recently on NFL Network answering questions about Kyler Murray.
This is interesting.
And he shed some light on Kyler Murray's decision to play football as opposed to baseball.
I know how this is going to end out. And Kyler has won. I've been following this kid since youth. He came over to play on our youth team when he was a shorty, but we were running downhill team. We didn't need a passing quarterback at the time. But this kid here is a bona fide winner. He's going to win everywhere he goes. Yeah, he's going to have I think he's going to have a good career. He's going to hit some hiccups this season as well. But, I mean, if you have a great NFL career, his size and his stature, let's say 10, 12 years, guys. Baseball, man, you just getting warm. 10, 12 years up on the diamond. And the revenue that you can generate is far surpassed that of football. I still would have picked up the baseball bat, but I'm happy for Kyler and his family.
That is so interesting to hear.
Yeah, that is not the take I expected to hear.
Because to me, it's pretty clear that Kyler Murray is similar to Deion Sanders in that they are both good enough probably to play Major League Baseball. But they both are great enough to make a real difference in the NFL.
Yeah.
Deion Sanders, had he chosen baseball, I think he would have had a very pedestrian career had he devoted all of his time to baseball.
He would have had a lot of infield singles and a lot of weak pop-ups. Yeah, I agree with you. And that's the thing here that I don't like of Deion's take is this assuming that Kyler Murray would have been a superstar in baseball, who'd be making top dollar for decades. Really? What would give anybody that idea? His baseball prospectus, his ceiling, it's good. It's not great.
Yeah, I mean, if he topped out at his potential or actually went past what the scouts thought his potential were, good player. I mean, when he went number 9 to the A's, people who follow the amateur draft were like, oh, that's a stretch. And I know Major League Baseball really wanted him initially for the star power, but he would have to work really hard to match that star power to a production.
Without a doubt.
With his production.
Without a doubt.
So it was interesting to hear Deion say that, I thought.
Yeah. So what I think now is going to be interesting is as these OTAs go on, what is this building to? We've heard a lot of hush-hush about this offense, and yet the offense is right there to be seen. It's right there for anyone who wants to see it. Go watch some Texas Tech highlights. You can kind of, because I've done this. If you're a football fan and you've heard about the Air Raid and you've never really seen it, you can get a real clear picture of what it does. You can Google Air Raid and Cliff Kingsbury, Google Air Raid and Mike Leach, and you'll see what this offense is about. The question just becomes whether or not NFL defenses can be maneuvered by an offensive system the way it can in college. That's the million-dollar question here.
You talked about the hush-hush. Remember when you asked DJ Humphries, what does the offense look like? And he said,
people are really wondering what his offense looks like.
Yeah.
Give us some knowledge.
None.
Nothing. You're not giving us nothing.
Anything. I'm a soldier.
You're a soldier. So yeah, it's top secret stuff.
Yeah. Top secret. Top secret. Hush-hush.
All right. Let me reframe the question.
That's kind of a, no, this is good. Does it meet your expectations?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. In terms of...
You like the secrets, huh?
Yeah, I do.
When did DJ get all quiet?
Yeah, man.
He just said he's a soldier. Yeah, he's a soldier, protecting the state secrets,
and,
man.
We can laugh and joke all day, but I never reveal family business.
And then DJ made Jarrett hit the dump button.
That's right, he did.
He didn't get quiet there.
No.
USA Today.
DJ never reveals family business, is that what he said?
Yeah.
What about that take that nobody was on board last year with Steve Wilks? How does that fit into that?
He's out of the family now.
That's right.
Steve.
That's right.
Excommunicated from the family.
Steve is out of the family. Okay.
Steven Ruiz on For the Win on USA Today. This morning, there was a long piece. Cliff Kingsbury may unintentionally deliver the future stat nerds want for the NFL. And it was a long, and For the Win is usually those really whimsical items that are out there on the internet, and
yeah,
a couple hundred words. This was a really long write-up with a lot of video examples and play diagrams and things like that I found interesting. But Bick is right. If you're not that familiar with Texas Tech's offense,
you can find it.
You can find a lot of it.
Yep.
And I remember my reaction because ASU during Kingsbury's tenure at Texas Tech, they played the Red Raiders three times. And three times my reaction was, this offense is a real pain in the butt trying to stop.
Oh man, when it's rolling, it is unbelievable.
Now, granted,
there have been games with Luke Falk in Washington State where you get him against a defense that doesn't really have a clue how to defend the air raid, and it's laughable how easy it is to move the football.
Yeah. The key for the Cardinals is, there's two keys. Replicating Texas Tech's offensive prowess under Cliff Kingsbury and avoiding Texas Tech's defensive performance under Cliff Kingsbury.
What's the opposite of prowess?
Let me look up.
Prowess, negwess, like negative, progress.
I believe it's Picayune.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, it's Picayune, Jarrett.
Oh, do you want me to play it? Every time I play it, you yell at me.
No, I don't want you to play it. I don't want you to play it.
Inability.
Okay.
Ineptitude would fit for the defense.
Yeah, exactly. So, we can't have that. But I'll also tell you this, and maybe this is all just kind of yap, yap, yap. There's a lot of defensive players really talking highly about Vance Joseph already. That might turn out to be a good hire for a guy who was pretty roundly ridiculed in Denver. Jared, you look skeptical.
It's just that, and Vince pointed this out earlier.
I know.
You're not going to hear players talking negatively about everything.
You're not.
What was the storyline last year, how great the coaching staff was?
Ugh.
And then we realized that great just meant different.
Okay, I just take back everything I just said. You're absolutely
right.
I'm
not saying don't be excited.
No, you're absolutely right. That's being naive. But some of these defensive players we talked to were very... very optimistic, but it's easy to be this time of year. They're in shorts. You know what I mean? They're in shorts.
True. One of the defensive players that we didn't hear from, and nobody's really heard from, Patrick Peterson. He remains absent from OTAs, at least through the first 3 days of OTAs. Next week, you got three more OTA practices, then four the week following before they scrub the adjective voluntary, and it gets replaced by mandatory minicamp. So we might not see Patrick Peterson until that point with the Arizona Cardinals. Kurt Warner joined us earlier today, and a lot has been made. And Patrick Peterson, obviously a very big part of this defense and the future for the Cardinals, potentially, if they can smooth things over relationship-wise. But I asked Kurt about how important is it that Patrick Peterson isn't at OTAs with his team.
Missing OTAs or missing stuff that's voluntary, it's not right or wrong. I've always believed as a player that when your team is together, you're there. And that to me is a big part of being a leader and building things. And yeah, I miss a workout here or a workout there, no problem. You got other things that you have on your schedule that you have to do. I understand that. But I just was always a firm believer that when my job was to play football, I built everything around what I knew I needed to do my job and to be there for my team. And so, again, I just think, one thing, just start stacking on top of another and stacking on top of another. And I think, when you go through something like that, you try to stop the stacking and you just get back to being who you've been through the majority of your career.
I agree with just about everything that Kurt said there. It is a way of putting yourself above the interests and well-being of the team, certainly.
Yeah,
I think there are legitimate reasons to miss OTAs, even if they are voluntary. Family situations, obviously, would trump OTA importance.
Without a doubt.
I can even...
taking your daughter to school.
I can see... well, is that an emergency?
No.
Contract disputes.
Okay.
Outside of the report that Patrick Peterson wanted the Cardinals to restructure his deal so he wouldn't get dinged as hard financially from the suspension, and the Cardinals' unwillingness or inability to do that,
yep.
I don't consider that your run-of-the-mill contract dispute. Other than that, I think what Kurt Warner said is gospel. Your team's together as a leader. As a player with the C on your chest, you should be there. Part of being a captain is setting an example.
I've been saying this all along. And again, to me, I was in support of not giving up on Patrick Peterson because I don't think you give up on good people, and I think Patrick's a good person. But this act here, I'm not digging this because of the way he sounded Thursday night at his foundation. It sounded like a guy who was, okay, all right, he's kind of worked by the worst of this. We're going to be okay. And it just doesn't, that's not what we're dealing with now, in my opinion. You know what I mean? I don't know if you agree with that or not. So to me, I think a guy like him, if he wants to keep wearing the C, and it'd be impossible, I mean, it'd be a bad, bad deal if he sticks around and then the team says, yeah, no, we don't want you as a captain. You don't meet our standards anymore. That, I don't know. I'm just not optimistic about where this is going anymore. And I was after that first night of his foundation. That's all.
I can just imagine the discussion we'll have next Wednesday on the show.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it might sound similar to what we just talked about.
Am I wrong? Am I wrong in saying what I'm saying?
No.
When it comes to the way he acted, he was okay. Not okay. He sounded like he came out and said his relationship with the team was okay, and I believed him. But he's not acting like that's the case.
You ever been in an argument with somebody and you just want to avoid further argument, so you kind of, everything's fine. Meanwhile, inside you're seething.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now you got a point.
Yeah.
You got a real
just
point.
Just don't want to argue anymore.
Done arguing.
Or I want to draw attention away from the argument and draw your attention over here to where my foundation is having a function.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Have you subscribed to the Bickley and Murata podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android. You'll never miss any of the show. It's the Bickley and Murata podcast brought to you this week by your Valley Chevy dealer. Coming up, we'll talk some NBA. Kevin Arnovitz from ESPN will join us straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Do you know what Picayune means, by the way, Vinny?
I've often wondered. But
have
I've
you
never
really
looked it up?
Picayune is a Cajun word for a. No, actually, I don't know. No, I don't know. Actually, I'm sorry about that.
Bickley Murata live from the Ok Chin Community Studios. Got a pivotal game 5 in the Eastern Conference. We've got dysfunction in NBA franchises and front offices, and here to talk about all of it with us from ESPN, the magazine, and ESPN.com. Kevin Arnovitz joins us here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Kevin, good to have you back on the show. How are you?
Good to be here. I'm doing well. Good.
I know we spent a lot of time talking about your piece, both with you and just between ourselves, that you did on the messiness and dysfunction in the Suns front office that came out in March. But man, that seems tame now compared to what's going on in Los Angeles, don't you think?
I think it's relatively tame. At least there's some sensible structure in place in the Suns. I mean, you can question methodology or this or that, but, you know, you have an owner in Los Angeles who somehow believes that the goal in setting up a structure is to, I don't know, express loyalty to friends and family and cohorts of superstars who played with you one time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's really no, doesn't seem to be any real interest in developing a leadership structure based on expertise, experience, or anything like that.
In the Magic Johnson situation, everybody went kind of shook their head when he resigned before the last home game of the season, hadn't talked to anybody, and then, you know, to go on ESPN the morning of the Frank Vogel press conference really shined a light on how messy stuff was. In your opinion, Kevin, how damning is it to the Lakers organization and really to Magic Johnson and the job he did or didn't do there that they've opted not to fill that position with anybody?
I mean, it's very damning, and it just, again, is a demonstration of parochial thinking, right? I mean, this is an owner in Jeannie Buss, who, by the way, has done a great job of cultivating the media in Los Angeles. You know, everyone thinks she's a swell person. But, you know, at the end of the day, has only seems to trust people she knows. And I just think that's a really problematic position to have in business.
Yeah.
I mean, you're building an enterprise. It's a multi-billion dollar entity. And it should be led by people who have an interest in management, who have some expertise, and who have a vision. And, it's a really important job, right? Like, you were to be the head of basketball operations for the biggest, whether we like it or not, it is the most prestigious brand in the NBA.
Yeah.
It always has been. for a very long time. You can have anyone. What's really interesting that I think is when you're the Lakers, there's nobody you can't call with a straight face. You can call R.C. Buford in San Antonio. You can call Sam Perez. You can call anybody who's ever had the job. Yeah. You can call someone from Corbett. I mean, you can. You have the capacity. You've got the money in terms of the local television deal. And yet, you've gone through, you have these courtiers. It's like something out of a medieval fiefdom, where it's just the king and the queen in this case, and these sort of these functionaries around them wearing the funny outfits and who kind of kiss the ring, and then this is how business is conducted. Why Rob Pelinka? Well, he was Kobe Bryant's agent. Why Magic Johnson? Oh, he was a superstar 30, 40 years ago for the team, and by the way, led it brilliantly on the floor. Why Kurt Rambis? Oh, he's been around the organization for years. Why Linda Rambis? Oh, she has two. That's his wife. Who's kind of in management? Siblings. It's truly like it's a demonstration of such incompetence, of valuing the wrong things. While it's a blind loyalty, or you had to wear the colors. It's just bizarre, and it's so unfortunate because they have the capacity to do whatever they want.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Monty Williams had his debut press conference in Phoenix, and he was sensational just because he's a real adult who's actually going to be, you know, kind of taking over a locker room full of young adults and kids who have had no stability so far. Maybe it's too much to think he can get an audience with free agent Kevin Durant, but what is your take on what a real experienced NBA head coach can bring to a team, particularly one that's just been adrift like the Suns for so long?
You know, Monty has unbelievable command in a room. And whether you're talking with him in his office, as I have, there's just he's a person who commands respect. And obviously has been on several great staffs, Nate McMillan in Portland back in the day, had his own shop in New Orleans, obviously has been with Brett Brown, has played, you know, obviously at the highest level. And he's a serious person. I mean, I think that's one of kind of Monty's defining qualities. He's a very serious person. And I do think they're like he will challenge players. You know, some people will tell you he'll challenge players almost to a fault. And I don't mean that as a criticism. That he is not someone who is afraid of articulating expectations. And those expectations are going to be higher, I think, than young Phoenix Suns players have been accustomed to. He doesn't suffer fools, but he's a wonderful communicator, especially sort of, you know, notions of leadership and accountability, I think are going to be there. We'll see. You know, young teams can test veteran coaches. It'll be really interesting to watch. I really liked what he had to say to and about Devin Booker in that press conference too, because I mean, at the end of the day, we're seeing how fundamental superstars are to teams' growth. You know, I'm sitting here in Milwaukee and, you know, watching Giannis Antetokounmpo, you know, who didn't arrive on the scene gangbusters. I mean, he was a mid-first-round pick. And just kind of watching that cultivation over time. And I think that at the end of the day, it's an interesting young core, but there's a kind of a special dynamism to Booker. He's not a player without flaws. But I do think that sort of instilling accountability and ownership of the enterprise in him is going to be so key, and I think Monty's a really good messenger for that.
Yeah. Kevin Arnovitz, ESPN, the magazine, ESPN.com, NBA writer, our guest here on Bickley and Murata. There's a lot of people here that are excited about the Monty Williams hire, but I think Suns fans, a lot of them would say they're most excited by the fact that in this process, Robert Sarver sought out the input of Jerry Colangelo, who acted as sort of a bridge between the Suns and Monty Williams in this process. As somebody who has written in depth on the Suns front office and its dysfunction, what was your reaction to that little tidbit, Kevin?
Well, I mean, I think lost amidst the goats and everything else was, you know, and I give Robert Sarver some credit here. I mean, he did what, by the way, Jeannie Buss hasn't done, what James Dolan's never done. I mean, he took up sort of the owners of the beleaguered teams in the league, which is he said, look, you know, I mean, this is on me and we need to do better and we need to look at our process. Mm-hmm. All you can ask for, you know, whether you're one of the great human philosophical debates, can people change, or are they who they are at a certain age, you know, whatever, and intelligent people can disagree on that. But, you know, all you can ask is, hey, can the next process be better than the last one? And I think, you know, I mean, I think they made a very good hire. And, I mean, you know, there's a range of opinion on Monty Williams as a tactical coach or habits or everything else. I mean, not everybody loves everybody, but I do think that, you know, as you said, there's an adult in the room. And I think at a moment, what I like about the Monty Williams hire for this team is, you know, it's an organization in need of some gravitas. And, yeah, and he's got it in spades.
No doubt. All right, last question, Kevin. What in the world is the NBA going to do about Drake? Because the man is a menace.
It is a really interesting question for a brand-conscious team. Because let's be honest. Drake, if you are the NBA as a commercial product, is a force of good, right?
Yes.
Like, you, all this competition for eyeballs and the kids and what do they want? And, like, you know, you have one of the biggest media stars in the world, courtside. By the way, not in New York, not in Los Angeles, but in Toronto. You know, that's a really big deal. And so on one hand, you don't want to not empower him. I mean, there's a reason that the camera goes to him, and it's good for the product to have cross, you know, sort of cross-media stars in the basketball realm. Like, hey, I mean, this notion that the NBA has done very well in the last 10 years is this is where the culture comes to play. You go to a game and you might see a movie star, you might see a rapper, you might see a captain of industry, you might see a model, and that's great for the league. On the other hand, he is a menace, you're right. I mean, you can't just administer shoulder rubs. I mean, I think that's an HR violation.
Yeah.
it's a tough one for them. I mean, I feel bad for Mike Budenholzer because he doesn't really care. He was asked about it. He gave an answer saying, hey, look, you know, obviously coaches and players are the ones who can only have access to the court. So now, you know, there are reports that he's miffed. And so I actually really feel for him because it is becoming a thing. And depending on who you talk to, the serious basketball people are rolling their eyes. But it is good fodder. But it's an interesting question for the NBA. Like, what do you do? It's kind of not bad for your product, but it is kind of out of bounds, if you will.
Kevin, thanks so much for coming on the show. We always appreciate your time, and enjoy Game 5 tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, Kevin Arnovitz, ESPN.com, ESPN The Magazine, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sportsline. That's Coulter Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti. Coming up, the D-backs are slipping. Is it too early to panic? We'll get into that next. Bickley and Murata live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Cards head coach Cliff Kingsbury talks about number one overall draft pick Kyler Murray.
He has kind of an innate leadership style and charisma about him that when he walks on that field, you know, everybody better be ready to go. He just has that way about himself, and I think those coaches and players felt that.
Get to know the newest Arizona Cardinals on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, and the Arizona Sports app.
Celebrating the unofficial start of summer at Chapman Chevrolet is celebrating with savings. The Memorial Day sales event is happening now at Chapman Chevrolet. Get over $15,000 off MSRP on a 2018 Chevy Silverado LT or 0% APR for 72 months. Stop by Chapman Chevrolet on Baseline Road of McClintock and Tempe or check out all our offers online at ChapmanChevrolet.com. Chevrolet, find new roads.
$15,000 off a 2018 Silverado LT, stock number 185087. Upon approved credit, must finance with GM Financial. Some customers may not qualify. Not available for lease and sell other offers. Taking retail delivery by 5/31/19. See dealer for details.
Stop by Presidential Pools in Gilbert Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Get a free barbecue lunch and get inspired in Arizona's largest pool park, 20,000 square feet, packed with 6 full-size pools, dozens of water features, and hundreds of backyard options. Work with a Presidential Pools designer to create a virtual rendering of your dream backyard. Stop by Presidential Pools Saturday from 11 to 2 to find out why Presidential Pools is Arizona's most trusted pool builder. PresidentialPools.com.
There's got to be a reason Peoria Ford's the king of commercial fleet trucks in Phoenix. Hey, it's Pat Hickey, general manager at Peoria Ford. I've made it my personal mission to always try to stock the biggest and most diverse selection of fleet trucks in Arizona. We have over 700 commercial trucks available, so there's a great chance we have the exact truck your business needs. In stock right now, and we'll have it at the price nobody can match. At Peoria Ford, we also know how important it is to keep your trucks running, so we have a huge service department dedicated solely to fleet maintenance and staffed with certified Ford technicians. So whether you're hauling equipment, hauling people, hauling tools, or hauling other vehicles, Peoria Ford's commercial fleet department's ready, and we're always ready. We have over 700 commercial trucks available, so there's a great chance we have the exact truck your business needs. Ask the hundreds of business owners that rely on Peoria Ford to keep their trucks rolling. Peoria Ford, Bell Road and 91st Avenue.
PeoriaFord.com. Heading to a Diamondbacks game this year? Check out the Coors Light Strike Zone, where you can enjoy the world's most refreshing beer. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for peak refreshment. So when the mountains are blue, it's ready. Coors Light, a proud sponsor of your Arizona Diamondbacks.
Coulter Nissan has a fantastic Memorial Day sale that I want to tell you about. It's Doug from Doug and Wolf. I bought a Nissan Maxima from Coulter Nissan so I can tell you how outstanding it feels to buy a car from the Coulter family of dealerships. They got great sales on the Rogue S, Sentra, but I saw three that just made me say, hey, you've got to hear about this. The 2019 Nissan Altima 2.5S brand new body style normally goes for $25,000. Right now, they've got three of them priced at $21,000. For Memorial Day only, Coulter Nissan has two 2019 Nissan Titans that are normally going to cost $38,000. You save $7,000. How about even bigger savings? Coulter Nissan has two 2019 Nissan Armadas that you'll save almost $10,000. You already have the best selection. You already have the best service department. And now you have the best Memorial Day savings event if you go to coulternissan.com west of the hassle.
The Conn's Home Plus Memorial Day four-day sale is happening Friday through Monday. Get store-wide savings like up to 35% off superstar appliances and TVs.
Bickley and Murata.
Officer, I would like to press full charges. People like this are a menace to decent society.
You're from a broken home, of course.
I come from a great history of poets, drunks, and horse thieves.
You have a history of juvenile arrests, I presume.
Yeah.
Drug abuse, reform school, state prisons, and all that.
That's right, man.
Dan Bickley, Vince Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Kind of in between, Wolf, in the sense where, you know, I think they are around a 500 team, maybe an 85-win team tops. I thought they were playing over their head for a while. You know, I don't think they're this bad offensively. They're better than this. You know, but not a team poised to win. I think, you know, hey, they want to win. They're going to have all these draft picks here, you know, seven or eight top picks in the top 100. And if they can get some help here by trading a Greinke, you know, by trading a Greg Holland, go ahead and do it.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today baseball writer. He was on with Doug and Wolf this morning here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, sharing his thoughts on what he thinks the Diamondbacks really are. And I think it's a valid question at this point in the season, where we are, Bick, because we've seen two versions of the Diamondbacks. We've seen the version that came out and really played well in April and exceeded expectations and surprised people with the offensive output. And now we've seen the May version for the second straight year of the Diamondbacks, where that once consistent offense has really struggled to produce, issues in the bullpen. They're 5-11 in their last 16 games, and they have dipped back to what Bob Nightingale said, 500 team. They're 25-25.
Yep.
There's a lot of projection here, but I think Bob Nightingale put a lot of evidence forth that would indicate this is kind of a fork in the road type season for the Diamondbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Some people believed, okay, you let Patrick Corbin go, you let A.J. Pollock go. That was expected. You traded Paul Goldschmidt. A rebuild is starting. Is it tearing everything down? No, but it has to be a rebuild of some sort when you're trying to replace that kind of talent. Then they come out of the gate strong. But if this is indeed a 500 team, 500's not getting you a wild card spot.
No.
You have some tough decisions to make on guys like Zach Greinke,
right,
on guys like Greg Holland. I just think right now, because it has been suggested, just do it now while Granke's stock is as high as it's been. I think that would send a really damaging message to the fans for the rest of the year.
Well, it really is on what you're trying to accomplish.
Yes.
If you just try to dump salary, people would go nutso because they've already done that or we're perceived to do that with Paul Goldschmidt.
Yes.
Oh, and not being in the game for A.J. Pollock, even though that turned out to be a good move. How is Patrick Corbin doing these days? I have not updated him in a while.
Not bad.
I haven't paid much attention to Washington Nationals baseball.
4-2 with like a 3-point-something ERA, 1.1 whip.
One of these nerds plays fantasy baseball.
right, that's right. That is.
Say those numbers again.
I think it's 4-2 with a 3.2-something ERA and a 1.1 whip.
4-2, 3.25 ERA, 1.099 whip. How many strikeouts, Jarrett?
70-something.
76.
How
like,
about that?
You're like 9-year-old me when I memorized the back of every baseball card.
How's your team doing this year, Jared?
Not good.
I still have not been able to make the commitment to play fantasy baseball. I get asked every
year.
Oh, come
on. Who has the time for that?
I mean, I have plenty of time for it. I have no hobbies and very little life, but I just still choose not to have that as a hobby.
All right, so here's my take on it all. So if you are going to decide to trade Zach Greinke, and if you were able to get a couple of young pieces out of it, I think people might be okay with that because I don't think – let me just finish. I don't think that there's really this groundswell of fans who are jacked up about this year's team. I just don't see it. Okay,
and I see that point too, but individually too with Zach Greinke having a great year, very accomplished pitcher, not nearly as beloved as Paul Goldschmidt was by the Diamondbacks fan base.
Yes.
You agree?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Okay, so along these lines, if you can trade them and get back assets that build for next year and beyond, okay, maybe. But if you're just going to get rid of the salary, then there's no reason to do this. And the problem is I believe the free market will not bear both. They'll bear a team that might give you a couple of prospects, but you're going to have to eat a lot of that salary. Or you might find a team that goes, all right, we'll take that salary from you. He's that good this year. We need a guy like that. You're not going to get both. So I think that because of that, it's not going to make sense to trade him. And if he can stay in this groove for another couple of years, then you got a piece that can anchor the next playoff team.
Yeah, and you bring up a point, too, that is strong enough to consider, and that is this draft that's coming up in the first week of June, the Diamondbacks do have a lot of picks. I think it's 8 of the top 93 picks.
Yeah, that's what
it is. So you are going to be feeding the lower levels of your minor league system, a lot of those teams that haven't started playing yet, the Arizona League and Hillsboro, and Missoula up in the Pioneer League. But if you trade Zach Greinke either before or at the deadline and get prospects back, you're feeding the mid to upper levels of your minor leagues as well, which needed a boost, and they've done that in the last couple of years. It's just the part of that I struggle with is that's a hard sell for a city and a baseball market, quite frankly, that hasn't been through that too many times.
Definitely.
I don't know how the fan base would receive that.
Yeah, look, there's a lot to be said for that, man. There is a lot to be said for that, and I think that in this regard, the best thing for the Diamondbacks really to do is to, you know, look, having that many top 100 picks is something that can be a game changer for this team. It can really regenerate the minor league system, bam, overnight if you do it right. And I've got, as you know, great confidence in Mike Hazen to do this kind of stuff. I just don't think that this year's the Diamondbacks year, and I just don't think that getting hung up in the present is a smart idea.
Yeah,
we'll see.
I know they want to improve. I know everybody's frustrated. Here was Mike Hazen, general manager, on with Doug and Wolf yesterday. This was prior to the day game loss to San Diego, which ended the three-game sweep by the Padres, about making adjustments.
You know, the offense is where has carried us for the first part of the season in a lot of cases. But, you know, I think since the middle of April, we've held our opponent to three runs or less 20 times, and we're 17-15 in those games. And that's not a good recipe, you know, long term. Those games should be winnable, not all of them, but a lot of them. And so we need to make some adjustments on that.
On the offense, Zach Buchanan wrote in The Athletic today, in the 16 games they've played since leaving Colorado, the Diamondbacks have scored a reasonable 3.9 runs a game, although that average perhaps understates the offense's meager output. In 11 of those games, Arizona has scored just 3 runs or fewer. Diamondbacks have managed just 7.4 hits a game and struck out in a quarter of their plate appearances in that span. By the way, in those 16 games, 5-11.
That's the bullpen is broken apart. The order has gotten very sleepy. We've seen this before. Teams that don't score, they can fall off the map in terms of relevance very quickly because they look like they're not trying. You know, there's a lot of bias that comes with bad offensive baseball teams. I don't know. I think that there's some good pieces here. I have great trust in the organization and the management team in place. You got to do this right. You got to build this out the right way.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they will, Vinny.
Coming up, Suns Reddit has posted a question that has tapped into the painful experience longtime fans have endured. We'll share that question with you and discuss it next. It's Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.